Okay, while the kids are being dismissed, just a few thoughts. It's going to be a little bit different type of service this evening. And I'm going to have a couple of skits up here. And we're going to have an assignment for you while those skits are going on. However, we just want to mention a little bit, the reason for the different skit tonight is the last few weeks we've been trying to portray things that are going to be going on with Operation Jerusalem and share what that is. And for those of you who aren't sure what we're trying to accomplish with that, let me just fill you in a little bit on what Operation Jerusalem is and give people opportunity to come back before we begin. One of the things that we're hoping to accomplish with this, you know, Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. But unfortunately, one of the problems we have when we're wrapped up in a good Christian church is 99% of our activities are involved with believers. I mean, we may work in a non-Christian environment, but how much time do we really get there to share the gospel with those people that we work with? And so our goal is to begin to go out and seek the lost. And we're hoping to share with them the truths that we have here. However, you know, it may take a little while sometimes in order to accomplish that. One of the amazing gifts, and it's talked about frequently in Scripture, is the gift of hospitality. You know, wherever Paul traveled, people treated him with hospitality. When Jesus was traveling, it said there were women who took care of his needs. Hospitality is a very, very important thing in the light of the gospel as you study it through. As a matter of fact, I looked up in the Greek the word for hospitality. And you know, does anyone know what it means when what the word hospitality really means in the Greek? We may think entertaining people in our home, but the reality is it means loving strangers. And that's what we should be about every day of our lives, loving strangers. And so today, I want to just share a couple of scriptures with you. Mark, if you would put those up for us. And I want us to read these together out loud, okay? Just to get a little bit of emphasis on what hospitality means in Scripture. Okay, Hebrews 13:2. Let's start with that one. And everybody read it together. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. Have we entertained angels, or haven't we even taken opportunity to try hospitality? Let's read it one more time and read it good and loud. I want us to get it. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. That's a great word. Mark, let's go down to the second verse. Again, I want us to read this out loud. 1 Peter 4:9. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. Now, sometimes it's hard to show hospitality to one another. And you know what I've discovered over the years? It doesn't always come naturally for people. It really doesn't. Sharon grew up in an environment where her folks didn't entertain much. And I grew up, I'm the oldest of like 42 grandkids on one side of the family. You know, our door was a revolving door. I mean, people were just always in and out. So when we got married and she wasn't used to having people over, and I was always used to having people over, the Lord really had to do a work in our relationship to bring us to a comfortable level of that. And I want you to know that the Lord has done amazing things in Sharon's life in that. She is a wonderful hostess. We have people who don't even knock anymore. They just come in. They're used to that kind of thing. We had some people over, and they walked in the neighbor's house by accident because they didn't knock. But, you know, but that's the truth of the matter. But hospitality is very, very important if we're hoping to evangelize our neighborhood. I'll tell you how comfortable Sharon has gotten. Just a little side note. We had Leroy Dugan over for dinner one night when he was here a few years back speaking. And Sharon had fixed this marvelous meal. It was ham and all this wonderful food. And he came in and he sat down and he said, I don't eat ham. A few years back, that would have devastated her. But, you know, she said, well, I can fix you a peanut butter sandwich, or you can just go ahead and eat whatever else is here. I mean, folks, that's grace of God in her life, because before she would have been in tears for days on end. But it was the grace of God moving in the area of hospitality. Okay, let's just put one other passage of Scripture I'd like for us to read before we get into the skits. And we're not going to read this one together. I'll read it to you. It's Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 through 12. Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 through 12. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." If we're to fulfill the Great Commission, it's going to take some hospitality on our part. So tonight, the skits are hopefully going to give you some do's and don'ts as we go through two skits. Now, I've got an assignment for you. What I want you to do is just jot down some of the things that you notice in the do's or the don'ts of this skit, okay? Because we're going to talk about these afterwards. I may give a test. I like to teach, so testing goes with teaching. So you just jot down somewhere the things that we're doing that may not be real good to do and the things that you see that might be good, and then we're going to give you opportunity to have input to share those, as well as some other things that you see that might be helpful that we missed. Okay? So for whatever, wherever the crew is now, we're about to begin. So if Sharon would come out here and join me, I'd appreciate that.
Oh, we are.
For so long.
We have been looking so forward to this, I can't tell you how much we're looking for as we're enjoying this time. Boy, you know,
honey,
we've been.
Honey, we haven't taken their coats. Can you believe it? Oh, my. Can you believe? We have been looking forward to this. You know, all we get a chance to do is sort of wave to you across the yard, you know.
I don't believe we did this.
Sit down.
Just go ahead and park it there, okay?
Oh, my. Oh, my.
How could we do something that silly? That's just amazing. Yeah, you know, we've been really wanting to get to talk to you folks and know you. Tell us about your family, okay? Ty, why don't you start? Where'd you come from, and how many brothers and sisters and all that? You know, we really want to get to know you.
Yeah, I originally from Fremont. My roots are in Fremont.
Fremont.
We know somebody from Fremont.
You know, let's see. What? Let me tell.
I wonder if they.
Steve Peterman. Steve Peterman.
Steve Peterman and his wife. Steve Peterman and his wife.
Cindy.
Cindy.
No,
Cindy Peterman.
I think
he's
that's
in real estate.
Right, Steve and Mindy Peterson.
Wonderful man. Close friend. They're close friends.
We know them very well.
Yes. Sweet people. Sweet people.
Yes, they really are.
So you're from Fremont. And where are you from?
Yes.
I'm from back east originally. I grew up in West Virginia.
I don't think we know anybody in West Virginia.
We don't know anybody in West Virginia.
But it is.
Pennsylvania. That's close to Pennsylvania, isn't it?
We do have friends.
We've got friends there, John and Marita Hopkins.
Do
you
know
them?
No.
I don't think so.
But it's close.
It's got to be pretty close there in the map. It looks just about that far in the map.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, that's good. Brother, you have any brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I have two older brothers and two younger sisters.
Two older? My, that's a large
family. That's a good size
family. So I'm right in the middle.
Do you get along okay?
Yeah.
Same family that size? Ooh,
yeah, pretty good. Pretty good. Fighting when we were little, but, you know, now that we're all adults, we're pretty good friends.
Sure. Sure. Well,
please, we had you over to have Coke and popcorn. Would you like some?
Honey, go ahead.
Okay, honey, where did you put the Coke?
I didn't get the Coke. You're supposed to get the Coke.
No. I sent you specifically.
We'll just take it.
Seriously.
You were supposed to get the Coke.
I'm not even thirsty.
I don't even
just
get
a
the Coke.
Cup of
you
water
always take care of the soft drink.
I'm not even thirsty.
Hey, is water okay?
Water's fine.
Okay.
It's good for the body.
She'll get it in a minute for you, okay?
No,
you were supposed to get it.
No,
let's see. What are some things you're interested in? You like sports or hobbies?
I love sports.
Oh, what's your favorite sport?
Well, basketball, football, baseball.
Doesn't matter, just so it's a sport.
Baseball.
Oh,
that's
I like those things, too. Oh, that's great.
Baseball.
Yes, I love sports, too. That's good. Terry, how about you? What's your interest?
Well, I'm pretty much a career woman, and I keep busy with that.
You manage a home and a career?
You know, I'm just not the homemaker type. It just seems so unfulfilling.
Say, do you like to go to the boutique?
No.
You should go to the Millard South Boutique. It is wonderful. You should go. Are you into crafts at all? You should be. It's wonderful. I tell you, tables and tables and tables.
Excuse me. I hate to interrupt, but do you have an ashtray? Do you mind if I smoke just a cigarette just for a second?
We don't have any ashtray.
We don't allow smoking in our house.
Honey, you don't need to smoke.
We'd rather.
You're right.
It's not good for your health. It gets in the curtains. You know, it's just...
Terrible habit. I probably shouldn't. Thanks.
Well, we've been meaning to quit anyhow.
I'm glad we get to help you do that then. That's good.
Anyway, you should sometime go to one of the boutiques, but even if you're not into country, I'm sure you'd love it. We'd have a wonderful time. We could visit like this, back and forth and
this
back and
forth.
This is great.
We're having a good time here. This is good.
It is.
Tell me, what kind of work do you do, Ty?
Well, I sell copy machines.
Copy machines? What flavor?
Flavors?
Well, brand name.
Xerox.
Xerox.
Is that the kind that you have so much trouble with?
Yeah, they don't work well at all for us. Don't worry about it. You know, we'll talk about that later.
I know. I told you.
No, you were supposed
to get the Coke.
You
know you were supposed to.
No, that's not right. That's not right. Terry, how about you? You say you're a career woman. What kind of work do you do?
I'm a dental hygienist.
Oh, how interesting.
That is. Get her.
I enjoy it.
You get your fingers in a lot of mouths, don't you?
Yeah, sure do. A lot of people think it's kind of gross, but I really enjoy it. I like people. I like being around people. And I'm just not the homemaker type. That
Would
seem unfulfilling to me.
Appreciate that, honey.
I stay home, you know.
You do?
Yeah, I do. I feel it's very important to stay at home.
Well, we've got a lot of bills to pay. Just felt like it's just good for little Terry here to get out and socialize, and appreciate that.
Yeah, well. You know, everybody to their own taste on that kind of stuff, I guess.
They go to church.
Where do you guys go to church?
How often or...
No, where?
Where
church do you go to?
We go to the local church just down the block, a few blocks away.
And how often do you go?
How often? Well, we try to get there once a month, but you know, our Sunday mornings are our mornings to sleep in, kind of family time. Terry wakes up here and...
Have.
Yeah, it's really the only day of the week we have. Terry wakes up, fixes nice breakfast, and once a month, we definitely Christmas and Easter.
Yeah, well, kids need church. You guys ought to consider getting them into church.
You know, we thought probably once our kids get, like, high school age, we'd probably try to get them a little more involved. But for now, it's just, you know, you're so busy. We know it's something you should do, but it's
we pop the TV on Sunday mornings, grab a good gospel show.
Yeah,
we do. Good. Well, you know, one of the reasons we wanted to come over is to invite you to our church and just share some things with you. Our pastor's written a little booklet we'd like to share with you.
Four spiritual laws?
No, it's not four spiritual laws. Bridge to life. Bridge
Wouldn't
to life.
Wouldn't he shoot us if he knew we couldn't
step
think
up
of
to
the
life.
Name
it's
of
step
it?
Up to life.
Step up to life.
Have That's you ever a, seen that?
A
it looks like this.
Book.
Here, let me show it to you.
Excuse me. Can you
scoot over
this way? Let me sit up here. Thank you.
Honey, have you checked your time?
Time?
Yes.
No,
you know,
it is getting late. Our other kids are with the babysitter, and we need to go.
Well, it's been wonderful having
you
over.
It's been great. We have enjoyed it. I'll give you
I feel like
and
I'm
read, okay?
Okay.
And
then
we'll
really
get
you more, honey.
And we'll get in touch with you in just a couple of weeks, and we'll get back together again and talk some more, okay?
Yeah, it's so great.
Josh, bring the kids home. Don't forget your coat here.
And your shoes.
Don't get your shoes, too, okay? Josh, send the kids up, okay? They're going.
Thanks so much.
No, you were supposed to get the Cokes.
You were supposed to get.
Okay. That's skip one. Now, that's one way of doing it. Okay? There's another way. And that's what we're going to do in this skit.
Hey, I'm here.
wanted to get to know you guys.
It's terrible how busy we get, isn't it? And just high and by. We appreciate you making the time for us.
Oh, we're glad. We wanted to get a chance to play this game and get to visit and know you more. It's a game called Vantage. It's a card game.
Oh, yes, and we love that game.
Yeah, we're just. Is very competitive.
Oh, is he?
Oh,
my.
I love to win.
Sometimes I lose on purpose just to bug him.
Oh, honey. No, you don't. No, you don't.
I like that. Well, why don't you start telling us a little about your families? Would you like to get to know you and your backgrounds and things like that a little tonight?
Well, my my bride and I met in Southern California. We were out of graduate school. I was there because I felt like I needed to be, and she was there because of the beach.
She likes to swim.
She does.
Oh.
She does.
Well, I figure if I'm going to go to school, I might as well find some place that I like. So found one out in California.
Were you both from Southern California then?
Well, I happen to be just from down the road in Fremont.
And I grew up back east in West Virginia, so I had lived there all my life until I went to California to school.
So you guys had to go to California to meet.
That's right. All right.
Interesting. Well, and your family in West Virginia, do you have brothers and sisters? Or?
I have two older brothers and two younger sisters, and they're all there except for me. So we kind of make that our family vacation every year so we can go back and spend time with them.
Excuse me. Would you like something to drink or eat? I've got tea, coffee.
Really? That sounds great. Tea would be wonderful.
Okay.
I'd like a Pepsi, please. Easy on the ice.
Sure.
Well, if you're from Fremont, brothers and sisters then? Family still out here?
Just one sister. Kind of a contrast to my wife here. I just have one sister who lives here in Omaha now.
Thank you.
And mom and dad are still in Fremont.
Thank you.
Which is nice.
Yes, that is nice.
His sister's about, they have this, their children are the same age as ours, and it's nice because we trade babysitting, and it's nice to have family nearby.
We don't have any family nearby,
so
that really is a blessing to have someone close to you.
Excuse me, I hate to interrupt. Do you mind if I smoke?
Let me see if I can find something.
Thank you.
I have an ashtray, but I'll get something here.
Well, you say you're competitive, Ty. What do you like to do then, sports-wise or game-wise?
Right, I like football. Thank you. I like football, basketball, baseball.
All those sports. You have a favorite team? Baseball?
Baseball. I've kind of fallen in love with the Montreal Expos.
Oh, why is that?
Well, Tim Burke from Omaha kind of represents the Cornhusker State.
Sure. He seems to be a nice young man, too.
From what I read, he is.
Yes, that's the same here. That's interesting. Good. Now, Terry, what kind of interest do you have?
Well, you know, I have a lot of interest, but lately it's hard to pursue them because I work. But I do like to paint, and I do some painting in my spare time. Not anything that I'm great at, but I enjoy it.
I'd love to see it. This is my painting on the wall, but I'd love to see your work.
Well, I'll have to show it to you sometime. I enjoy, my mother was a painter, so it's kind of fun. Something to do.
I'd love to see it.
Yes, and how about your job? You're a career woman. What kind of work do you do?
I'm a dental hygienist. I've been doing that for about 10 years now.
10 years? That would really be interesting. Meet all kinds of people there, don't you?
Yeah, it's kind of fun. And it's nice because I can work part-time if I want to. And
the money's good.
Yeah.
Oh. That's helpful.
Say, I've been meaning to tell you, too, if you ever get in a pinch and need a sitter, you know, we may or may not be home, but I'd love to help you out.
I appreciate that.
Happens. And if I can do anything to help, I'd really like to do that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Sometimes our regular sitter gets sick and we do get in the bind, so
please feel free to check with us. I mean, we might not be able to, but feel free to check.
Thank you. That's awfully nice of you.
Good.
And how long have you all lived in this neighborhood?
4 years. And how about you?
3 years.
We knew when you moved in, but I lost track of the dates.
Time is fast.
You like the neighborhood?
Love it. Love it.
Love
a lot of little children for our little children.
Thank you.
You do an awfully good job in the yard.
Thank you.
It's immaculate.
I like those straight lines.
And I see Terry out there working on those flowers, you know, it's beautiful.
We love working in the yard.
I could use your help if you have a green thumb.
Oh, I love to
She's
plant
wonderful.
Flowers. Love it. I'd love to help you.
Great. Sure.
That's fun.
Good. Ty, what kind of work do you do?
I sell copy machines.
You do a lot of traveling doing that?
I do. It kind of takes away from the family a little more than I'd like, but the money's good.
Does Terry get to go with you very often?
Well, we try to work it out. Again, when we get back to those hot spots, she's awfully willing to go with me.
Yeah, really. He's headed toward the beach. I do all I can to clear my schedule.
That's nice to have opportunity to travel together like that. That's really a blessing.
It is fun. We can, you know, sometimes we can get his sister to watch the kids, and it's nice to get away.
Maybe you'll be able to watch the kids some.
Sure, he has a one-month European trip coming up. Just kidding.
Just as you're free to ask, we're free to say no. Well, what kind of other activities do you have?
Well, you know, we are big Lancer fans. We have season tickets to all the Lancer games.
Okay. Some others out here, wonderful.
In the neighborhood.
So yes. We enjoy that. That's kind of, it's a lot of fun. We really follow them closely.
I got Terry a Lancer jacket for Christmas.
Oh.
What a guy.
I bet she really enjoys that.
She did.
It's something, it's fun to follow them. It's fun.
Sure.
So, we have a good time.
Are we going to play the game?
Should we play the game?
Game? I'd love to play a game.
What time is it, honey? It's kind of getting a little late.
7:05.
No, it's supposed to be later than
that. I'm sorry.
That's 9:05 our time.
Just flew back from California 2 hours late.
Maybe we could take a rain check. We'd love to play, but the kids,
it is
they don't
late.
Get in bed
Babysitter,
in time.
You bet.
Yeah, we told our sitter we wouldn't be out too late.
Okay.
Well, I'll tell you what, we have really enjoyed this time. And we'll do it again. We'll get together and we'll play that game the next time we get together. I'll go get Josh and the kids.
Okay.
Great. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. I'd be glad to help you plant those flowers.
You want those
flowers? Yes, he's bringing your coat.
Thank you, Josh. Thanks for entertaining our children. Are they well behaved, I hope? Good.
Well, take care.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having us.
Bye, kids. Come back and see us again. For a day or so.
Okay, right way and wrong way. Let's see what you picked up on. Let's hear some of the things that were not done properly. I want to hear those things. Kyle, you recognized something right off, didn't you? What did we, come here and tell me, Kyle.
Smoking.
Whoa. We knew that would be a hot issue. We could get burned with that one, you know? Okay. The question you have to ask on something like that, okay, is this. I think, you know, since Scripture does not address that issue directly, am I willing to allow someone to smoke in my house for the sake of opportunity to share the gospel with them? You know, for some people, that may be a no, and I cannot set your standards on that. That's between you and the Lord. But for the others who feel the freedom to give them something to use, you know, it's not us offering that. It's not us offering a liquor or anything like that. But would it offend me if somebody smoked? Man, I always ask for no smoking in restaurants. It drives me crazy with the eyes and stuff. But if it will open up opportunity for me to share, I might be willing to do that. It really depends on the neighbors that we know. We picked real-life situations because we have a situation in our neighborhood, the folks that we're praying for specifically, that are in that exact boat. One of them's a smoker and one's not. And if they come over, it wouldn't surprise me if they would ask that. So what am I going to do? I don't know yet. I'm still praying. Okay. Anybody notice anything else that we shouldn't have done? Yes, Dorothy. Did we do that? Taking her shoes off and, yeah, that was not a good idea. John.
Like, at the first you were being, on the second you were, like, letting them, like, the first one you forgot to buy the Coca-Cola.
Yeah, we didn't do a good job on that one, did we?
The second one, like, you wouldn't make them take off their shoes and stuff like that.
And that was a nicer approach, wasn't it, to not make them take off their shoes. Anyone else? Anything that they picked up on? We're looking for principles here. We exaggerated some of these issues, okay, but we're looking for principles here. Becky and then Jerry. Very good. I'm glad you picked up on that. You know what happens? One of the things that happens is we get real uncomfortable being in a non-Christian environment when we get used to it. And to let them, I mean, what happens if they bring up something that we don't know how to handle? What happens if that, you know, they start telling an off-color story or something? Oh, my goodness. So we would tend to dominate those things. So I'm glad you picked up on that. That was one of the very key things we wanted. Jerry? Good. You know, in John chapter 4, one of my favorite passages of Scripture, with the woman at the well, it's amazing how Jesus let her talk, wasn't it? And he listened. I mean, what a great listener he was. He let her talk. And if you look at the first half to three quarters of that passage, you find out she did more talking than he did. I mean, you look at it and count the number of words, and you'll find out that early on, she did much more talking than Jesus did. And that's okay. Let them talk, because you find out where their heart is. I mean, you may pick up during the course of the conversation, they may be unconcerned or conviction even. You may be able to pick up where they are and begin to direct the conversation toward where you want it to go then. And that's what Jesus did. Okay, anybody else? Negatives. Betty. Excellent. That's one of the things we really want to point out. You know, you may have them in the house 6, 7, 8, 10 times before you ever have opportunity to share the gospel with them. You noticed in the last skit, it never came up. We want it to be in a natural flow of things. We really do want it to be in a natural flow. Okay, so on the other hand, Jody. I wasn't supposed to do that? I don't have the ministry of confrontation, huh? Okay. Faye. Now, that was really supposed to be for Sharon to hear, not anybody else. See, but no, he really didn't. But I mean, those kinds of things. Mark. See, we want it to be a family involvement. At least Sharon and I want it to be a family involvement, because the neighbors that we're trying to reach out to have 4 kids. And so we plan on them coming in, and we want Josh to be able to greet them and meet them properly. Good, Mark. Appreciate that. Bill. Good. That's one of the things we really want to point out. The body language that we communicate with is actually more effective than the words we communicate with on something like that. If we're looking at our watch or sitting with our arms crossed or looking around or making faces at each other because of things they're saying, folks, we've lost them. And that'll take months, maybe years, to recover that opportunity again. Good. One thing I learned from Pastor, a statement that I really like, is always leave them wanting more. You're better off leaving them wanting more than thinking. And so that's a neat thought to keep in mind. Let's just do a couple of more, and then we need to do a couple of other items. Wendy. You know what? It's amazing to me how many times we're with people and you can see the husbands and wives doing the little bickering back and forth. That's why we put that in. It is sad, but it's true. Let's see. A couple more. Let's get a couple of people that haven't said anything yet. Who do I see? Bonnie. Good, I appreciate that. Folks, if you don't know something about a subject, say, I don't know anything about that. That's great. You don't know how that blesses me. I am sure that that's one of the big reasons Jimmy Carter won his election. How many times did you hear him say, you know, I don't know, but I'll find out, and he's campaigning? That's impressive to hear somebody who addresses people all the time say, I don't know, but I'll find out. Oh, Jermaine says he never found out. That was Oh, we're not pushing politics, but the reality is that's impressive when someone says, you know, I really don't know anything about that. You know what's even more impressive? Tell me what you know. I'll tell you what, you start picking a person's brain about something that is really interesting to them, and you've got a friend. you've got a friend. They'll come over. I mean, they'll go out of their way to come over and talk to you. Number one topic for people is themselves. They love to talk about themselves and things they know about. So when you have people in, ask them questions about themselves and things that they're interested in. Boy, that just makes a big hit. Last one, David Tim. Okay, good. I appreciate all those responses. Now, as we begin to look at Operation Jerusalem, 2 weeks from tonight, by the way, is the first one where we invite one of our neighbors in. Hopefully you've all filled out your Operation Jerusalem sheets and stick them in your Bibles and are praying for those neighbors. If you haven't, we've got more here for you tonight. We want you to do that, and then we're going to do something in a few minutes here to break that down and pray for them. However, are there any questions about Operation Jerusalem or two or three testimonies of how the Lord has opened up opportunities for you to share the gospel with somebody? We want to hear that now. Any questions about Operation Jerusalem? Let's start at that level. Any questions about what we're hoping to accomplish? Betty. We need somebody who has some tact. Share that. Mark, stand up here and share it.
I ran into an experience just a couple of weeks ago with an off-color joke. Why, with the group I'm with, there are several guys from our church that we play in a Christian group, and we rented us production gear, and the people that are in the company, they gave us this huge rig to use, and it takes four or five of their people to set it up. And as two of us were riding on the way to Westside Baptist to set this thing all up, one of the people from this technical thing, we were sitting laughing, just kind of joking with him and talking with him. He said, well, hey, did you hear this joke? And he started telling this joke, and Mike and I sat and we listened to it, and we're kind of like, huh. And it wasn't really blatantly terrible, but it was kind of like I was cringing when it was going on, and Mike and I kind of looked at each other and we went, ha-ha. Well, did you hear this one? And we just told another joke that was just completely away from it. You know, we just, you know, kind of led him away from him. And then he helped set this show up and was there for the entire show. And then on the way back, we rode in the truck with him on the way back. And this guy, his name was Chad, he said, listen, he said, I really didn't know what you guys were all about. And really, he said, I got to thinking about that story I told. It probably wasn't too apropos for you guys. It didn't quite fit in with what you guys are all about. And he said, I'm sorry if I offended you. And we said, well, you know, we're not here to judge you or anything like that. You know what we just had. We told him we appreciated everything he did, and he, you know, because he was a professional, and I mean he was just doing his job. And we said we appreciate everything that he did, and we hope that we can work with him again.
Pastor, you want to direct that a little more directly?
I think Mark did a good thing, and you know, I've been in places where I tell a clean joke, and for some dumb reason they come back to me. They tell me a dirty joke back, as if I'm going to just laugh at anything, and. And I said, and I just kind of spaced it off and not make call attention to it, go on to another joke or on to something else. And that's the best thing we can do. Really great. The guy came back and mentioned it to you. So it was really good. I'm happy.
You know, one of the things I find, I went out and played golf one morning, and I was out there by myself, and they paired me up with somebody. And by the time we were to the first green, I don't know how many foul words I heard. And I thought, Lord, what in the world am I going to do? I cannot play nine holes going through this. And so immediately I began to talk and ask him about what kind of job he had. And as he shared, he was nice enough to ask me what I did. You know what? I never heard another foul word the rest of the day. And I had a chance to just talk and get to know him and visit with him a little and you know, share a little bit about the Lord. Not much. But who knows? You know, the Lord didn't put us there together by accident. You're not living in your neighborhood by accident. It's by God's design. And so we want to take advantage of the Lord putting us there. I remember at the missions conference, and I can't remember who it was. It might have been George Verwer, made the statement that really, or Paris, I can't remember. But I've got it written in my Bible. But it's a great word. And, you know, you are God's grace to wherever you are. You're God's grace to the workplace. You're God's grace to that neighborhood. And you're there for a reason. Okay. Any other questions? Yes, ma'am. Audrey, go ahead.
I just wonder if we would have that problem in our neighborhood, especially if we have children. I know when my children were small, the word got around, you know, that we went to church a lot and so forth. And I really wonder if we would have to really deal with that. I mean, that's just my idea.
Yeah, it may be surprising. Your neighbors notice those things. They notice you going out to church on Sundays with your Bible. believe me, they pick up on those kinds of little hints, you know. And so you may not have as much trouble with some of that as you might think you will. And some of you may have more trouble with it than you think you will, but the reality is they do notice those types of things. Okay, time for a testimony or two, and then we're going to break down. Anybody want to share of opportunities the Lord has given you? Mark just shared a neat one. A wonderful time of sharing. It should be very natural, folks. It should be very natural. Anyone want to share? Okay, Jen, come on.
We have targeted a couple in our neighborhood even before Operation Jerusalem began this summer. And actually, we got to know the couple through Ty and some youth trying to capture my husband one day, and they sent this particular neighbor to our house to try to get us out of the house. And since then, we've built a relationship with them, and just they're very shy, and we've just kind of talked to them across the street. And just in the last month and a half, her husband's been called up in the reserves to leave. In fact, he left today for Saudi Arabia. And they came over and asked us if we'd watch their cats for them, because Murdochs are cat people. And so we said we would. And when he got ready to leave to go down to Fort Riley, he said, you know, they wanted to come over and say goodbye. So I told Lincoln, you know, if you could come home that day, it'd be great because Dave and Beth are coming over and we can say goodbye to them. And sure enough, they did. They came over in the middle of the day, and Lincoln came in the door about 5 minutes later. And it's amazing when you're, you know, forced into a situation like the Gulf crisis, people who don't know the Lord turn to God. And so we had the opportunity before they left. They started to leave, and Lincoln said, well, you know, I hear one of the number one problems for the soldiers in Saudi is boredom. He said, so I got you this book. He says, it's action-packed. You'll love it. It was the book Bruchko. And then before they left, Link said, well, would you mind if we had a word of prayer with you? And we just kind of stood in the living room and held hands. And Link just prayed for protection. Not, you know, we didn't pray for their souls or salvation, but just protection for Dave and protection for Beth. And we told Dave, we said, we'll take care of Beth while you're gone. And he was just trembling, and Beth had started crying. And since then, she's gone to see him twice, and they've had a key made to their house to give to us. And in fact, this weekend, we're also cat-sitting again. And our plan for Operation Jerusalem is to have Beth over that night. And the whole time, we kept thinking we were going to have both of them. And I really think the Lord orchestrated this so that I could build a relationship with Beth. Because who knows, Dave could have been a hindrance to the situation, not being interested in church, whatever, I don't know. But we're going to have Beth over that night, and we're going to have our friend Osama, who is from Saudi Arabia. And I mentioned it to Beth. She says, I would love to meet him. I have so many questions I want to ask him about Saudi Arabia. So that is our plan. I just feel like it's so easy, because you'd have to be blind not to see what the door that the Lord has opened there. So we are excited.
That's wonderful. Okay, what we would like to close with, I see hands, but what I'd really like for us to do is pray for our people on our list. You know, the battles are going to be won in prayer. Let's have two more people. I saw two quick hands. Rod, and then we'll have Becky share, and that'll do it.
Pastor, I think I'm the guy you were talking about last week, but I had my little girl asleep in my lap, and I couldn't get up. But when we first started about talking about Project Jerusalem, and we weren't sure it was even going to take off, or at least I wasn't, but I wrote down some names, and I got about eight down there, and I didn't think I could think of 12, but I did finally get 12 down. And so I started praying about it, and the first opportunity I had was one of the guys that I'd been praying for that I worked with asked me about spiritual things, which led to a witness. And a couple weeks later, another worker that I worked with asked about spiritual things and what I thought, and it led to witness. And then at Thanksgiving time, I got to share with my mom and dad, and which was just an act of the Lord. You know, it was kind of difficult. But, you know, my job was to pray, and the Holy Spirit convicted them, and Jesus will save them. So just pray for them. It'll work.
Okay, while Becky's coming, does anyone not have their Operation Jerusalem sheet filled out and with them tonight? Because we would like to take that and pray in the groups. Okay, as we break into groups in a little bit, we'll just come around and give them to you in your groups. You just let us know, okay?
Well,
We have targeted, I suppose, and in our family, Tom's sister and her husband. And of course, we've been praying for them for a long time, and it's pretty easy to establish a relationship. There's already a relationship there. But the Lord has really moved in lots of ways. We have children that are 5 and 7, and they have an 18-month-old, and we're both pregnant at the same time. So it's been, you know, we have lots of things that we can talk about and things we can share, and they know a lot about us. One thing that I'd like to share along more of a practical line as we went through with the skits, I thought of this. We have a new house that we just had built, and I'm sort of a neat freak. And when this 18-month-old girl comes over, I find myself almost constantly yelling downstairs to my girls, "Don't make a mess. Don't make a mess, you guys. Don't make a mess." And I really found that it made my sister-in-law uncomfortable. And I, along the practical lines, I found it easier if I was concerned about a mess to take the things that I knew would make a mess, the little Barbie shoes and hangers and things like that, and put them up. And I was amazed the next time I had her over how much more comfortable I was. And we had a wonderful talk about the different things that are going on in our lives as I'm establishing a better relationship with my sister-in-law. It's neat how we can talk so much easier when I don't have to think about my house and I don't have to be worried about it, because she's so much more important to me than my house is.
Thank you, Becky. We appreciate that. Okay, what we'd like to do is have you break into groups of all around the auditorium of groups 5 to 6, not more than 6, okay? You know, I kind of count. That's part of my job. I go around and count. And if I see groups of more than 6, I'm going to pull somebody out and put them in one that's smaller than that, because we want everybody to have opportunity to have some of their people prayed for, okay? The pastors and their wives will just kind of roam in case you have any questions about Operation Jerusalem. We'll just be roaming around the auditorium so we can answer any questions you might have. Now it's time to break into groups of 5s and 6s all around the auditorium. Lord, we thank you that spreading the gospel, Lord, we have opportunity to participate in that. Lord, what a delight. Lord, the only thing recorded in Scripture that makes the angels rejoice is when someone gets saved and really commits their life to you. And to think, Lord, that you've chosen us to be a part of that, what a blessing we have. And Lord, I pray that as we begin to pray for these folks, Lord, that you will let us find favor in their eyes. Lord, that you will open up the opportunities. Lord, you'll make us sensitive to special needs to the person we're praying for. And Lord, how many times have I heard stories about, well, how did you know that I was hurting? Just somebody calling and saying, you know, I've been thinking about you, and I sense you're needing somebody to talk to. And the person says, yes, that's true. How did you know? Lord, I pray that our spirits will be sensitive to those kinds of things going on all about our neighborhood. And Lord, I ask you to send your angels around to do battle against the forces of evil that do not want this type of ministry to go on. Lord, we pray that you will be able, Lord, to equip us, Lord, as we're willing to reach out to our neighborhoods. And Lord, we just want you to get the glory and the victory for this. Lord, this is not to cause Trinity Church to grow. This is to cause your kingdom to grow. And Lord, if they wind up in a wonderful evangelical Bible-teaching church somewhere, so be it, Lord. We're not out here for Trinity Church. We're out here for the gospel to be preached to all the world. And Lord, it starts in our Jerusalem. So we thank you, Lord, for this plan. We thank you, Lord, that we are participants in it. And Lord, I'm asking you now to equip us and give us a heart for it. Lord, if we don't have a heart for hospitality, Lord, I pray that you will just come on us in a powerful way, Lord, and give us the burden, a desire to be hospitable to our neighbors, where we can reach out and love them, Lord, because hospitality is simply loving strangers. Lord, it's just your life. It's just an overflow of your life in us. So, Lord, show us how to appropriate your very nature within us to reach out to those that are lost. Lord, that we're here to seek and save the lost because you are living in us, and that's what you came for. We thank you for those precious, precious opportunities. Lord, we thank you for the testimonies of what you're already doing, and we look forward to hearing more and more. Lord, we thank you for the people who are here tonight who want to reach out to the lost. We bless you for them, Lord. Equip them and just overwhelm them with yourself. In your Son's precious name, amen.